We are seriously proud of what you have achieved, Fremantle, in sending out and starting this new campus. And without further ado, I would like to welcome the handsome Pastor Nigel to come. And let's put our hands together for this old boy.
Thank you, darling. Great to have you in church today. Well, one of the reasons for having a first birthday at Wellard is our story, our future. If you'd like to take those cards, they're on your chair, because today I would love for all of us to take this offering extremely seriously. You know why? Because God takes his house seriously. And so I really think that today we have an opportunity to just extend our boundaries as a church. And you might say, well, we've already got Wellard, but I reckon God wants us to go a bit further. Who thinks that we possibly could do another campus by about, I don't know, 2020? You know, so some of you are going, oh, it's hard enough work now, those of you in Wellard. But, you know, we'll have new people by then. Another 4 years, 5 years, you know. I'm just grateful for the purpose that God gives us that goes far beyond what we think we can do. Isn't that so true? And so I'd like to invite my good friend Dom Sinek to come and join me this morning, who I'm going to do a little interview with today. And let's welcome Dom. Hello, Dom. So you're really passionate about our story, our future. And can I just ask, how long have you been coming to our church now?
It's been a while.
So Dom, you joined the church with us in 1996? 1996.
Yep.
So let's give him a hand for staying with us. Tell me. What do you love about our story, our future? We had another question before that. You've been given to our story, our future, for how long?
Well, even before it started, really.
Wow. So explain that.
Well, I was just thinking up on stage earlier, as you do. Before this program started, when we were even in the other church, we were all about building the church. And I remember once we came together, we had this old sound system, really old one, and it broken down. And we just walked around the church, and there's only like 15 or 20 or 30 people there. And we said, we need $12,000, people. We need to buy a new sound desk. And we need, I think it was about $12,000.
That's right.
And we literally just asked people on that Sunday.
Yeah.
And that morning we collected $12,000 for the sound desk.
And how many people did we have back then?
Oh, under 30, I think.
I'm telling you.
It was great.
It was just amazing. And so, why do you fill in a faith promise card like we've all got today, either on our chair or in our hand? Why do you do it every year?
Well, I believe in building the church. I believe this is God's put me here this year to do something. So what can I do? I can go to the footy, I can do whatever I like, but I want to build the kingdom of God. I want to build something in this church. I want to leave something that's lasting.
Yeah.
And so that's why I believe in this program. I believe that, and I've seen the journey that we've had. For me personally, when the program first started, we were actually looking for a house, and we mapped out on the map the area that we wanted to live in, and we couldn't afford that area. The same way as the church couldn't afford this.
So what you're saying is there's a correlation between our story, our future, and what you felt on your heart from God in the house that really was above out of your range.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more. How did that pan out?
We just believe that as we sowed into the kingdom of God, that God would bless it. And so, in a sense, we appropriated the blessing. And God did bless. God blessed this church, blessed the other church, blessed this church here. And so we were able to just go with that blessing. And God was very faithful as we began to give. We had our own vision, and we had the vision for the church. And as we aligned ourselves to that vision, wanted to see this place built. And it's got to be built every year. You know, the thing will fall apart. The vision will die if we don't continue to build it.
So good. So you obviously believe there's a direct correlation between our story, our future, and blessing that comes on our lives.
Yep.
Do you want to explain that a little bit to us?
Well, I believe that there's that sowing and reaping type principle. You know, as you sow, you will reap. And I had to talk to Pastor Nigel about a little illustration that we had, which we'll probably cover later. But I believe as we give, we have to give into something. So I believe in giving to God, and I'm leaving a mark, a legacy, and that I've helped build the church in Fremantle.
So why don't we talk about that now? That little illustration you were telling
me. All right, I've got a slide up there. I have a little. Can you put that up, please? Yeah, I have a little veggie patch in the front yard, actually, and these are New Guinea beans. And you know, I love my New Guinea beans. I raised them from as they were babies, and I don't know. You'll see the middle one that Uncle Con, my next door neighbour, is holding. In the middle one, it's been gnawed at the very top. It's a little bit white there because the rats gnawed at it. And so every night I go out there with tea towels and old nappies, and I wrap my New Guinea beans up.
I hope they weren't used nappies, but anyway.
Well, towels, tea towels and stuff. So I wrap them up and I look after them and I nurture them. And I planted this thing from a seed. So every year I'll plant these things.
Yeah.
And I'll leave the biggest one still on the vine because that's the one I use for seeds next year. So I suppose for me, I have this expectation when I plant this thing and I water it and I feed it and I fertilise it and I look after the crop and I trim it back and I kill the rats, lots of rat poison. Put all that there, I have an expectation in my heart that, you know, what I sow is what I'm going to reap. And we collected almost just under 20, I think it was about 16 or 17.
Wow.
17 of those babies, and they're beautiful. And the reward from that is the next slide is them yummy. No, oh, you make these things out of them. They're very delicious. But it's the same. It's the same in God. You know, as I sow, I have an expectation in my heart that we're going to create a house where people can come, people can connect, people can grow.
So good.
And people can belong. And I'd love to do a survey. Who believes they belong in this church? Hands. See, if you look around, there's your harvest. Because if the church was never there, people would not be belonging.
Wow. Incredible. So what would you say to people today that maybe have the card in their hand and are feeling a bit fearful or doubtful?
I'd say step out in faith. Have your own dreams, but also have the dream that God has for this church, which is to build this church. And we build every year. Every year we do something. We go to church plants and we're doing something else. And every year this church grows. And so we need to sow into that growth and get blessings. And God will bless you. God will bless you. Like those crops, as I water it, plant it, look after it, I am blessed. And that's just the principle of God. So why wouldn't you?
And so just lastly, what do you see when people fill in their faith promises card?
Well, I see the church being established. I see people putting their faith in something bigger than themselves. I see people leaving a legacy. I know that if I was to carcut or whatever, that this church has been through the sowing that I've done, is that people have been blessed here. And that, to me, that's a real blessing. That's a real encouragement to me.
Wow. That's really good. For those of you who might not have understood, Dom says if he carks it, he's not going to cark it just yet. For those of you maybe, you know, different cultures, kark it means if I die today. But he's saying that there's still purpose from what he's sown because it's eternal, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's not temporary what we're doing.
It's God's house.
It's God's house.
It's God's house.
So good.
Nice won't be here all the time. I won't be here all the time. But God's house will be.
Can you believe we're actually the same age?
I'm just platinum.
Thanks, Dom. Let's give Dom a hand. Fantastic. So good. All right, turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Say this with me as we're looking up this scripture. Well, at least will I am anyway. If you're on your phone, you're probably already there. It's your future. It's your future. Okay? This is about us. And it says here in 1 Chronicles 22:5. Let's go there first. Then I'm going to go to 1 Chronicles 29 and probably stay there the most of the morning. 1 Chronicles 22:5. It says here, in the New Living Translation, "My son Solomon is still young and inexperienced, and the temple of the Lord must be a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the earth. So I will begin making preparations for it now." So David collected vast amounts of building materials before his death. Now, I'm unsure if Robert James, one of the journalists of High Consumption magazine, who wrote an article on the 38 most beautiful churches in the world in the living section of the magazine, read this verse first. But have a listen to what he said after filming and writing on all the 38 churches, which included Westminster Abbey and the Basilica in Rome. This is what he said. He's not a Christian, to my knowledge. "If you're building a temple to God, you'll want it to look good. You'll probably want what you're building to be the greatest thing that you ever did. This is likely why churches are some of the most beautiful and inspiring creations. Because let's be honest, you want God to be impressed with your work. You can't just throw something together at the last minute and hope it'll work out. It takes time, 800 years sometimes. And it's never going to be easy. This is God after all. The guy who created galaxies, the solar system, grilled cheese sandwiches and bicycles. And that was just Tuesday." So can I show you my favourite church building in the modern world? Would that be okay? Let's just go there. Show us that picture, Mike. No, not that one. Go back. You've messed up my whole... There we go. All right. Let's get the order right. Oh, stole him a thunder. I haven't even got there yet. Anyway. Okay. Let's give Mike a hand. He's doing a great job. All right. So I think this is one of the most funkiest church buildings in the world. Would anyone agree with me? At least that's impressive, right? I mean, my goodness. Okay, so this is my favourite modern church. I looked at all 38 of these guys that I just told you about. And, okay, it's the picture of the cathedral in Brazil. Any other Brazilians in the house today? Glad we got one. D'Souza's doing quite well in this world surfing down at Margaret River, if you're interested. Anyway, okay. It's a hyperboloid structure. Did you know that, Greg? I don't know what that means, really, but it's a hyperboloid structure. It has 16 concrete columns weighing 90 tonne each. It has a glass roof, and the structure appears to be stretching up toward heaven. Now, can I show you the building that I am most fond of in the world? Okay. All right. See, the building I'm most fond of in the world is nothing like the hyperboloid structure that I think must have had limitless amounts of money, I think, to build that place. But anyway, this is C3 Painesville, unfortunate name, in Liberia. P-A-Y-N-E-S, but hey. Now, can I show you too my actual favourite church building? Yeah. Come on, that's worth a hand, isn't it? It is what God has called you and I to expand that is vital for our future. And Father, today, come on, let's pray. I pray the power and presence of the living God. I thank you, Lord, that we're involved in not just ourselves, but we're involved in advancing the kingdom of God. Because when Christ comes into our heart, we are living beings serving an eternal purpose rather than a temporal purpose. And we believe for greater things, Father, across our church, across, Lord, our multi-site campuses, Father, Lord, across Port Care, we thank you for growth and increase in Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen. 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 King David said this in 1 Chronicles 29:1. You may want to go there. Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, "My son Solomon, whom God has chosen to be the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous." You know, anything you do for God, once you start getting into it, you realize how enormous the task is, because what God, there's a never-ending amount of things that we can do in God. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not just another building, it's for the Lord himself. And so David is talking about his own son being young and inexperienced as a king. I am so grateful that we have young people in church.
Yeah.
Let's give a hand for the young people today. Dom's correct. Him and I have probably got another decade or so. If we don't have young, who knows that every young person is inexperienced? A few of you? Those of us who've got teenage kids, who knows that every young person is inexperienced? But I'd rather have them in the house of God learning, training, and doing something significant because they've seen what we've done than anywhere else. And this is what David's handing the baton on. Yep, he's got a lot of learning to do. Yep, he's got a lot of work to do. Yep, he's got all these things that there are questions. But ultimately, he's going to grow into a man of God. I'm handing the baton on. So for every young person, every person that... Well, yesterday, we had a music team meeting. I was saying hello to 11-year-old kids that want to be part of the music team. And I'm looking at those guys and I'm going, this is the future. So exciting, Caroline. So exciting, Jared and Hazel. I'm not sure if Hazel's here. I know Robert is. Good to see Robert this morning. You know, 1 Chronicles 29:3, let's go there. "And now because of my devotion to the temple of my God," this is David speaking, "I am giving all of my private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction." And what we know from this passage is that David's life was spent making God's house great. You know, one of the most incredible and important things that we can do in our life is to have the same sort of mandate for our lives. I am spending my life making God's house great. The work ahead of him is enormous. It's not just any building, it's God's house. Any work we do for God in his house requires a certain amount of backbone, sacrifice, and perseverance. True Christ followers cannot take a casual approach to building his house. It's no ordinary house. Who knows it's no ordinary house? Who knows that it's an extraordinary house? It's where the life of God flows. See, near enough is never good enough because it's God's house. It's God's house. It requires our best efforts, not for 1 week, not for 1 month or 1 year, but like Dom said, for our entire life. I'm so grateful that Jesus means something to Andrea and I. Who's grateful that Jesus means something to you? He motivates who we are with people and what we do with our money. At the end of the day, what is important is not how many material possessions we accumulate, but what we have done to advance God's house and his kingdom.
What's the lasting impact when we get to the end of our life? What's God going to say to each and every one of us? And our story, our future, take your card in your hand, if you will, just as a declaration this morning. Our story, our future, is about the difference Jesus makes in our lives. We make room because it's our future. Rather than clog it up with stuff that's temporary, the church is the vehicle that God uses to free his people. Is anyone here grateful for their salvation today? Oh, yeah. The New King James Version starts this passage of Scripture, 1 Chronicles 29:1, by saying, "Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly." I like the way that God puts that through the author, which is most likely Solomon, said this. There is always going to be more when we set our affection toward our God. There's going to be bigger beans for Dom next year because he set his affection towards the house of his God. There's going to be bigger dreams in your heart because you've set your affection on the ways of God. There is just this synergy between God and yourself when you decide, and it is a decision that we make, to put God's house first in our lives. It goes on in this chapter, and let me just give you a few things, because I think we have to get why we do this about our story, our future, and its importance. God is great. Anyone agree with me this morning? God is great. Can we, if you agree with me, give me a yes or something as we go along. You know, God is powerful. Come on. You know, God is glorious. God is victorious. God is majestic. God is the owner of all things. Oh. God is the owner of all things. God has dominion over all things. God is exalted as head over all. God is the source of all riches and honor. God gives strength to all. God is merciful even when we don't deserve it. Come on, there's a shout, that one. And God gives us the heart and the willingness to give freely and joyfully. Come on. He gives us the heart to give freely and willingly. Really important principle. Furthermore, see, you and I go further, and there is more when we're centered on his will for our lives. David is clear in this passage of Scripture about centering himself in the purposes of God. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God. 1 Chronicles 29:3. When we serve God, there are purposeful projects, buildings, new ventures God has for us to accomplish as his people. Can we all check that we got our phones on silent, please? Let me say that again. When we serve God, there are purposeful projects, buildings, new ventures God has for us to accomplish as his people. Is anyone grateful that we started C3 Wellard? It never would have happened without our story, our future. Those faithfully for the last nearly 21 years now, giving so that we can actually get enough equity so that we can venture out into Wellard and see people come to Christ, see new people enjoying the house of God. So good. And so buildings play a major role in the recovery of the church. A place they know they can go and worship. And someone always has to step up and believe for more. Are we a church that can believe for more today? And so when I consider this, I had a really long phone call with Pastor Collie this week, who is the senior pastor. In fact, why don't we go back to that slide of his church? Because they're proud of what they're doing over there in Liberia. Can we do that? This photo is actually taken a few years ago. They have actually put some more wooden structures up. And I think they may have replaced some of the rusty roof. But just so we can familiarise, we have five churches in Liberia, all started from Fremantle. And Pastor Collie rang me for quite a long time during this week, and it was over an hour conversation. The line happened to be good because it was about 2 a.m. in the morning, his time. Pastor Collie and his wife Florence live on the outskirts of Monrovia, the capital of Liberia. And rather than simply live with their lot in life, they've had decades of civil war. It's not an easy place to live. There's around 75-80% unemployment. It's difficult to make ends meet. But rather than just exist, they felt together, the senior pastors of C3 in Liberia, overseeing all the churches, that like us, right now, they're in the middle of a building program. Both, it's actually quite an emotional thing for me, to be honest. Both themselves and C3 Kakata. Only 25% of the population only have secure income. Like I said, 75% don't work at all. And for those who do work, it varies between $70 to $110 US dollars per month. That's their income. Somewhere between $70 and $110 US dollars per month. Looking around, I've been there many times, and looking around the congregation, you would find it hard to believe that they could raise any amount of money significant enough to build or renovate their current facility. But Pastor Monobar and Florence Collie were not going to be deterred by their living conditions, who themselves live for the most part. They don't turn on a light switch like we do. They don't have running water from a tap inside their house. They don't have gas unless they bring something in. They believe God told them to ask each person in their congregation to give to the building fund, to our story, our future. Every single person, young person, adult, and certain amount specified for their building fund. So I asked, let me get this right. This is, his time, 2 a.m. in the morning. He said he'd been up praying for the church. What percentage of your people, Pastor Collie, are giving to the building fund? He goes, what are you talking about? I said 100%. I asked him again, what you mean every person in church gives? Yes. So you mean every member gives? Yes. And he said, we have 215 members currently and they all give. And he went on to say, when a new person joins the church, they are given instruction on giving, and soon after they give to the building fund too. The amount was agreed to by the board, and each week the people bring not only their tithes into the church, but also their Our Story, Our Future building money. The adults that are 24 years of age to 75 years bring every week 50 Liberian dollars, which is equivalent to 50 cents, our money. And the young people, 16 to 23 years old, bring 20 Liberian dollars, which is equivalent to 20 cents, our money. They have been doing this for approximately 9 months now, and they have collected 85,000 Liberian dollars, 850 US. Come on, that's worth a hand. This is really impressive giving when you consider the average wage. Someone has to be the pioneer and believe for more. Someone has to lead the way. And all this giving came about in Liberia because last year, I didn't realise this, last year Pastor Collie asked me how we at C3 Fremantle raise money for facilities, and I discussed 1 Chronicles 29 with him. In detail, I said this, go to 1 Chronicles 29 verse 5, who will follow my example, who is willing to give offerings to the Lord today? Then all the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and captains of the army, and the king's administrative officers all gave willingly for the construction of the temple of God. Everyone gave. That's what the verses are saying. Pastor Collie took it literally from me, and that's why he said, well, we can make that happen. Amazing. But it makes us look a little bit weak if we don't give, doesn't it? Seriously? We have far more income, even if we're unemployed. We get more than $80, $90, $100 a week. This is a really interesting thing, that when we put God's house first and we watch the miracles flow into our lives like are happening in Liberia now. My goodness, there's some stories we're going to hear when it gets to that time of the year for our church in August for our leap into spring. But you know, what's more even exciting for me is when you're convinced that Jesus is the hope of the world. Is anyone here convinced that Jesus really is the hope of the world? Not just you know, like, yeah, he is. Who's really convinced? Come on, who's really convinced that Jesus is the hope of the world? So this is important. Your life is built around building his kingdom. It has to be. And as such, facilities are an important part of that future. Someone had to go into Fremantle, put a stake in the ground, and live out the purposes of God through his church. Who's grateful for those people, those pioneers in the early days? Who's grateful for the facilities that we have today? And so David has given us one of the clearest examples in the Bible on the subject of building a house for God and how it was achieved. Ready and willing, this is verse 6, the heads of families, leaders of the tribes of Israel, commanders and captains in the army, stewards of the king's affairs, stepped forward and gave willingly. And then it goes on to describe how their giving. They gave 5,000 talents, 188 tons, and 10,000 darics, 185 pounds of gold. They gave 10,000 talents of silver, 377 tons that equates to. They gave 18,000 talents of bronze, 679 tons, 100,000 talents, 3,775 tons of iron. Anyone who had precious jewels put them in the treasury for the building of the temple of God, in the custody of our accounts person, pay loke. And the people were full of a sense of celebration. It says in 29:9, the Message Bible says, and the people were full of a sense of celebration, all that giving. Can anyone celebrate the Lord today? Can anyone today, because we're going to take up an offering for the future, a faith promise that means something for all of us, not only for the advancement of the house of God and the expansion of all we're doing, but also for the advancement of who you are in Him. There was an incredible generosity in Israel to pay for the building of the temple in Jerusalem. David led the way, and the fathers and princes and commanders and overseers gave. Everybody say the word everyone. Everyone who had precious stones gave them. And those are the facts. There was enormous generosity. Money had come in. There was enough to build the temple. They were able to wipe out all debt. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had no debt? I think the board, if we had no debt, the things we could do. My goodness. But how do you account for all this giving? At one level, David is not the least afraid of saying that the people did the giving. And he stresses that their wills were profoundly involved in the giving. 29:9, then the people rejoiced for they had offered willingly. Because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. So good when we're loyal. Such a good thing. So they weren't coerced. They were led, yes, but not coerced. They made the choice. Here we are at C3 Fremantle this morning. It just may be that I'm a little bit like Pastor Collie. And I believe that the church is worth living and dying for. Was anyone with me today? It may just be that, like King David, nothing truly satisfies except building the house of God. It may just be that I believe we have an opportunity to forge ahead today in generous and willing giving. And the extension of God's kingdoms is still the most important thing on the agenda for you and for me. And part of that agenda is through securing facilities for the glory of God. They said it couldn't be done here in Fremantle, but to God be the glory. They thought we had not enough people down for Wellard, but to God be the glory. We weren't sure how it was going to go down at Port Kerr with an incredibly large lease, but to God be the glory with money in the bank. You know, to God be the glory, because what little seed we have, God does the rest. And what matters is not what you see with the eye. What matters is the great invisible reality of God when we put faith into action through our giving. And the writer records for us a prayer of David. And what we need to see this morning is what really happened in Israel and at C3 Fremantle when people gave generously. What really happened was that God revealed himself. Who'd like God to reveal himself for some of the issues that you're facing in your life right now? The giving of money for the house of God was the work of God to reveal himself, that we would stand in awe of God. It goes on in 1 Chronicles 29:10, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. David blessed the Lord, not man. I want us to do that today. Can we bless the Lord today? Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for the journey that we're on and the future that we're going to take a hold of, because you're our God. Incredible God. It's the meaning of freeing the future. It's all about the revelation of God and our worship. You know, he goes on. David just continues. He's so just full of all the free and willing giving to build and extend the kingdom of God. 1 Chronicles 29:11 and onwards, it says this: yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Can anyone testify that the Lord is great today? Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and power, he goes on. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the victory. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord. God owns all of it. The heavens, the earth, everything in it. He owns your own mind and emotions. He owns everything. We are not our own. He owns your car. He owns your television. Throw that thing out anyway, it's no good. He owns your house. God owns all of it. The heavens, the earth, everything in it. He has the authority of royalty. He actually rules as king over all the world. We just don't let him in sometimes, but we're going to let him in today, aren't we, C3 Fremantle? We're going to bring an offering that does glory to the kingdom of God and exalts his name. Can we take our faith promise cards in our hand? If you need a pen this morning, can I just ask that the ushers grab some pens and give those out? You need a pen, just pop up your hand. Thanks. Just keep your hand up for a moment. Or share a pen with someone else if there's someone around you that needs a pen. Father God. Just keep your hand up. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Riches and honor come from you alone, Lord. We put you in first place in our lives today. Will you take a moment? I'm just going to give a moment, a couple of minutes, just for people to fill in those cards. Those of us who are ready, why don't we just pray into our future this morning? I just want to give opportunity for every single person, young and old. You know, if our dear Liberians who are part of us, they're our church too. They're our extended family. If they can bring 50 cents every week, I'm sure we can give $5 every week. I'm sure that some of us who are business people can give far more than that. Sure, those of us that have got young families, that God touches our heart with the things of God, that we may all bring an equal, not equal giving, but an equal sacrifice to the glory of His name and the extension of His kingdom, because those things that are temporal don't last. But we're grateful, Lord, that we are going to a place that lasts forever and ever. We want to give you glory today. How are we going, guys? Are we just about ready? Awesome. Father, today, let your name be glorified. Let your kingdom be extended through C3 Fremantle. More campuses, more overseas churches, whatever your desire is, Lord, we're willing. We want to serve you in Jesus' name. 29:14 says, but who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you. And we give you only what you have already given us. What a grateful heart. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Can we, ushers, take this offering today? If you're not ready and you need to think about that some more, that's fine. You can give it at the bookshop afterwards. But wouldn't it be great for every one of us to give a 12-month commitment for the glory of God.